Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Today, you'll hear the second part of Casey Leskin's lecture on intelligent design and law, where Casey explains why Discovery Institute opposes pushing intelligent design into public school science curriculum, and instead wants students to learn more about evolution.
So we have this great argument for design in biology that's being published in peer-reviewed scientific journals by pro-ID scientists, and it's being developed in research labs as well. It's very exciting. But what should we teach in public schools? What is the right thing to teach in public schools today? We're going to switch gears here to more of a legal perspective now. So I like to say today that the way that evolution is typically taught in public schools is we have the one-sided teaching of evolution. What does that mean? Well, it means that most public schools today only teach the scientific evidence supporting evolution. If you teach the controversy, you're accused of promoting religion, and you just might win a free date in court with the ACLU. This is no joke. This happens all the time with people. They get nasty letters all the time. So what should we be doing? What should we be teaching? What's the right way to address this issue in public schools? Well, Discovery Institute, we think that what schools should do is require the teaching of the scientific strengths and scientific weaknesses of neo-Darwinism. Teach both the evidence for and against evolution. Don't censor evolution like was done back in the Scopes trial. That's terrible. We don't want to be censoring science. We want to give students access to more evolution, not less. So teach both the evidence for and also the evidence against evolution. As for ID, we actually oppose mandating intelligent design in public schools. And why is that? Well, the priority of the ID movement is to see ID develop and grow as a science. And when it's pushed into public schools, that tends to politicize the issue and take the debate out of the scientific realm and push it into the political realm. So our long-standing policy has been to not mandate ID and instead to simply require the teaching of both sides of evolution. And we do also think that you should protect teacher academic freedom to teach both the evidence for and against evolution. And if they want to teach ID, they should have the option to do that. It shouldn't be banned. You shouldn't be banning scientific theories like ID. At least protect academic freedom. So if teachers want to talk about these ideas, they can. But don't push it into the curriculum. That politicizes what we think should be a scientific debate. The first prong of the Lemon Test says that every government policy has to have a secular purpose. A religious purpose will invalidate a government policy. So what are some of the secular purposes that you could cite for teaching the controversy over Darwinian evolution? Well, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of secular purposes. This is not about teaching religion. This is about teaching students more about evolution, more about science. You teach students more about the facts of biology as opposed to sort of the one-sided view they typically get in schools today. But it also improves critical thinking skills. We'll talk about this some more in just a minute, but science education theorists recognize that when you teach students to think critically about both the evidence for and against a scientific theory, they actually improve their ability to understand science and they improve their critical thinking skills. Another benefit is that teaching the controversy over evolution increases student interest in science. I can't think of a better way to squash student interest in science than to tell them that some of the basic questions of life have been already scientifically answered, and there's no more fundamental work to be done. It's evolution, that's a fact, 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 and there's really no more contributions that you as a student can hope to make towards giving sort of fundamental answers to these timeless questions of humanity. I think that everybody is interested in this question, whether you're religious or non-religious or whatever. These are questions that are of interest to everybody. So this does not have to be a religious motive to want students to understand this question. These are important questions that we all, as humans, need to answer. So I really think that it's actually sort of ethically unconscionable to censor from students the fact that there is scientific debates over some of these key fundamental questions facing humanity, of where we came from, and to teach them that there is only one fundamentally possible answer, and that's sort of unguided materialistic evolution. Unfortunately, that's what many students are taught. But if you teach them about a controversy, I guarantee you, you will increase their interest in science. And teaching this controversy also trains students to be scientists, to be open-minded, skeptical, and non-dogmatic thinkers. It also diffuses the classroom and community controversy caused by teaching evolution. We've talked about this quite a bit in the course I'm teaching right now, that there's a lot of lawsuits that have been brought by angry parents who don't like the fact that evolution is taught dogmatically. Well, guess what? If a school district just didn't teach this topic dogmatically and let students learn about multiple views, the whole community would be happier. And we'll see some poll data in just a moment that shows just how many Americans want students to learn about the controversy on this issue. So as I mentioned, science education theorists support the kind of educational approach that we would recommend when it comes to evolution. Now, many of them themselves are probably evolutionists who don't like ID, and actually, when it comes to this issue, they might be hypocritical and actually contradict themselves. one of the big secrets in this debate is that sort of the universe of science education theorists say that students learn science best when they learn about both the evidence for and against a particular scientific theory. This is a quote from a paper in the journal Science a couple of years ago. It says, "Critique is not therefore some peripheral feature of science, but rather it is core to its practice." And this was in a paper that was titled "Arguing to Learn in Science, the Role of Collaborative Critical Discourse." It's written by a science education theorist at Stanford who said that we ought to be teaching students about scientific controversies. And he says in the paper that students best understand science when learning to, quote, discriminate between evidence that supports inclusive or does not support exclusive of a theory. This is all we're saying, that evolution should be taught in this manner. And it's supported by leading education theorists. What about the public? Well, an overwhelming majority of the public, 78% when polled, have said that biology teachers should teach Darwin's theory of evolution, but also the scientific evidence against it. We often perceive that in 2013, America is bitterly divided and polarized on some of these hot-button cultural issues. But 78% of the public, that is not just your stereotypical right-wing conservative faction of the voting public. This actually includes huge numbers of people who are both conservative and not conservative, and yet they want students to learn about the controversy on this issue. If you don't believe me, when you look at poll breakdowns, over 80% of self-identified Democrats, liberals, and college grads, your stereotypical folks who are on the left, they think that we should be teaching students about the scientific controversy. So if you're a politician and you want a winning issue, my goodness, if 80% of liberals and over 75% of conservatives want you to be teaching the controversy over evolution, you'd think that they would pick up on this. This is a winning issue. U.S. Congress has supported teaching the controversy. In the 2001 No Child Left Behind Act, in the conference report, there was language which said, directly related to this issue, where topics are taught that may generate controversy, such as biological evolution, the curriculum should help students to understand the full range of scientific views that exist. The U.S. Supreme Court even has ruled on this issue in a 1987 case, Edwards versus Aguillard, which was a case that primarily dealt with declaring creationism to be a religious view and unconstitutional to teach. They also stated that we do not imply that a legislature can never require that scientific critiques of prevailing scientific theories be taught. This is very important language because, as I'll mention in just a moment, there has never been a lawsuit challenging an actual teach the controversy policy. And that's because I think that the Darwin lobby knows that this question of whether it is legal to teach scientific critiques of evolution has already been settled by the U.S. Supreme Court in this case, and they would not prevail in a case like that. Even the ACLU has admitted that any genuinely scientific evidence for or against any explanation of life may be taught. And what about good old Charles Darwin? Well, Charles Darwin himself, who I actually respect, I think he was a very honest scientist, and he was very open in Origin of Species about many of the problems with his theory. He says in Origin of Species, a fair result can be obtained only by fully stating and balancing the facts and arguments on both sides of each question. I think Darwin is rolling over in his grave over the way many of his latter-day defenders promote his theory in this dogmatic way. It goes very much against Darwin's own approach to evolutionary thinking. So although we often think that this issue is always losing ground in our culture, and the way the media portrays it, basically we're always losing every battle we fight, that is not true at all. There's actually 10 states right now that have statewide or local policies that support this approach. That would be Pennsylvania, Minnesota, New Mexico, South Carolina, Alabama, Missouri, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, and Tennessee. And every one of those are statewide policies, I believe. So we have 10 states right there that have statewide policies that either require or permit teachers to teach scientific criticisms of evolution. And some people have said that since a particular lawsuit a few years ago where ID was declared a religious view, that this issue has strictly been losing ground. These states I've just highlighted, South Carolina, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, and Tennessee, have all adopted policies that either require or permit teaching the controversy in just the last, I would say, 5 or 6 years. So we are actually gaining ground at the statewide level nationally in terms of finding that this is a smart, common sense approach to teaching evolution that is a winning issue, and a lot of folks are beginning to understand this. And again, there have been no lawsuits over any of these policies that either require or permit teaching the controversy, contrary to what you often hear in the media. I mean, you often hear that you cannot critique Darwin. That's simply not true.
As Casey Luskin argues, science should not be censored. Teaching the controversy over evolution promotes honest science education while encouraging students to develop critical thinking skills and an interest in science. Hear the last segment of Casey's lecture next time at www.idthefuture.com.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2013. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.